today as we come to the table.
I'm going to do what it takes to go seek the Lord. I want to hear what he has to say. And here's my point in this. If you want to go deeper in Jesus Christ, he's not going to give you some insurmountable mountain to climb, but he is going to say you're going to need to put forth a little bit of effort. And it's not works. You're not earning anything. You're already in the kingdom if you know the Lord. What you're having to do is to say, you know what, Lord? I think if I'm really going to hear you, it's going to be a little bit of a mountain climb. I'm going to set my alarm a little bit earlier this morning. I'm going to get up each day a little bit earlier. I'm going to set aside a little bit of time at lunch. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to go up that mountain, because the only way you're going to get deeper teachings in the Lord is to be willing to go a little bit further up the mountain.
The best things in life require a sacrifice. Marriage requires a sacrifice of singleness and independence. The best mountain view requires a physical sacrifice. Following Jesus requires sacrifice as well. Have you said yes to the sacrifice Jesus is asking of you? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Jesus doesn't ask everyone to be a martyr. Although you may have to give your life one day, there's probably a smaller, everyday thing God is asking you to give up in order to be closer to Him. Today, Pastor Mark teaches us the importance of saying yes to whatever that sacrifice is. Whether it's time, sleep, money, or attention, the effort is worth a reward. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. As he begins his message, God's Standards of Righteousness.
Matthew chapter 5. As we look at today, the Sermon on the Mount is what it's known traditionally as, which it is, but I've entitled this God's Standard of Righteousness, or God's Standards of Righteousness. Either one is appropriate. Now, looking at God's standard of righteousness, obviously we're not going to finish all of Matthew chapter 5 today. We are going to cover up through the first 16 verses or so. I don't want to go super, super slow, but I don't want to go too fast, and here's why. When the Lord gave the Sermon on the Mount, when he did this teaching, it was all at one setting. Now, imagine that. They gathered up there. The Lord didn't do, we're going to cover verses 1 through 5 today and meet next week up here on the Mount. He did the whole thing all the way through until he was done. And when you see how jam-packed it is with so much amazing information, it's just like, how could he do that? But again, he knew we would be studying it over the years, over the centuries, and he knew that the believers would go back and read it again as they put it on paper. And so we're going to be kind of doing both. We're going to be looking at it closely, but we're also not going to just do two or three verses at a time. Like I said, we're going to cover 16 this time, and then we'll just see how God leads us. But I want to make sure that we move through at a decent pace and yet not too quickly, so we get more of a feel of what this was like when the Lord shared this. Now, when we think about God's standard of righteousness, everyone in here has a standard of righteousness. Whether you realize it or not, when you gave your life to the Lord, or if you have not yet given your life to the Lord, you have a standard in your mind. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. Here's how I need to live for God, or here's how I need to live, whatever the case might be. And I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, I had my standard of righteousness, and it was really almost more toward the law side, than grace. And I put a pretty high burden on myself. And it took years for God to work that out of me, to work out the works, if you will, and to get me where I just trusted in God's grace and God's Spirit to work through me. And that's what I hope this journey is for you. Maybe God's setting some of you free from trying to live by your own standard of righteousness. Maybe just beginning the journey, maybe finishing the journey, maybe adding to that journey that you're in. But the bottom line is, there is a great freedom in realizing that you can never be exactly perfect for God. When you try to live perfect for God in every way, it drives your life crazy. And if you're a perfectionist, you've tried to do that. I'm not lowering the standard of trying to live holy. I'm not lowering the standard of trying to live righteous with and for the Lord. What I'm saying is, there's a freedom in realizing we can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And we learn to let go and say, God, I'm going to walk with you, but you've got to make this thing happen. I can't make this happen. And then God does it through his Spirit in our lives. and we learn to walk with the standard of the Lord. Now, again, it's amazing. When we go through this, you're going to find this is even a higher standard than the law was in many ways. The law was really hard to follow because mankind tried to follow it, but even following the teachings of Jesus Christ, he takes it beyond where the law was. And the reason he's doing that, he's making it so out of reach that everyone will realize it can only be done through him and by his power. And I also want to make this point. This is something that can only be done by true disciples of the Lord. The world cannot live by the Sermon on the Mount. Why? Because it is only something done supernaturally by the Spirit. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you can by no means enter the kingdom of God. The scribes and Pharisees were fanatics. They divided seeds up, 9 for me, 1 for God, and they were fanatic. And so when he said that, everybody would have said, I'm done. I give up. It's not going to happen. That's partly what the Lord wants to happen. He doesn't want you to say, I'm done and I give up trying to follow God. What he wants you to understand is, I'm going to follow God, but God has to do this by the power of his Spirit. And so if you know someone who says, well, I follow God by following the Sermon on the Mount or by the Ten Commandments, they're deceived. Because you can't follow God by the Sermon on the Mount of the Ten Commandments. It's impossible. One is the law, and actually the Lord makes the law even harder as he gets into the Sermon on the Mount and the teachings that he gave, because they're only found by the power of the Spirit. We cannot live this way or walk this way unless we are a true disciple of Jesus Christ walking in the Spirit of God. It just does not come naturally. Now, as we begin today, we look at what is called the Beatitudes. Again, Beatitudes simply means blessings. And we're going to see with each of these, the Lord says, you know, blessed are you if you do this. Now, you know, again, to walk in blessings, he's going to show us what it takes to walk in that blessing. To walk in cursing, simply just live normal life. Why? Because we're fallen. We're fallen by nature. And if we want to just live a cursed life, just ignore God and we will live a cursed life. But if you want to walk in a blessed life, it's going to have to be following Jesus Christ. And he gives us the key on how to do this. Now, before we even get into it again, I want to say this. A lot of times it's easy to translate blessed into, oh, how happy. And you may have heard people say that. You've probably heard me say that over the years. That is true. It does have the meaning in it of being happy, but the word happy has a much deeper, richer meaning. It doesn't just mean happy, like this is a good day and yesterday was a bad day. It means a richness of God working in your life to the full. There's something deeper going on here. There's something in your life. And I remember being an unbeliever and seeing people that knew the Lord and seeing the blessing in their life. And I never really imagined, I couldn't quantify what that was. Why is it they're different? It never made sense to me. Now that I'm saved and I'm looking from the other side, I see God's blessing in my life. And it doesn't mean necessarily you're rich or you have this and that that other people don't have. It's just the blessing of the Lord. There's a joy. There's a rejoicing. We have hard situations that happen in our life. Right, we break our arms. We have surgery we have to have, but our surgeon's a Christian. You know, these things happen. You're like, Lord, how did you set this up? And that's the blessing we have as being followers of the Lord. So understand when he says the blessed, it's much deeper meaning than happy. It has to do with a richness and a fullness that comes into the life of a person that chooses to follow Jesus Christ. So let's jump into this. Notice here he says in chapter 5, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying. Now, we're going to stop there. I know that's an odd break because it goes right into saying. But again, notice I want to lay the foundation of what's going on here. Notice he says, seeing the multitudes. Remember, the Bible tells us that Jesus was being followed by people literally from around the world by now. It wasn't just all of Israel. That was parts of Israel following. It was the Decapolis, which were Roman cities that were all around Israel. It was those coming down from Syria. It was those coming down from Lebanon, the Bible tells us, Tyre and Sidon in that region. So the bottom line is, Jesus had no doubt tens of thousands of people, according to what most scholars believe, and I agree, that being a very populated area, people coming from all different sides of that region, he had no doubt tens of thousands of people following him. Massive crowds. Now, they're not going to stay massive. As the Lord begins to teach, he begins to thin out the crowd. And part of that is intentional. What do I mean by that? It's not that God doesn't want to reach everyone, it's just that not everyone is open to what God has to say. Many people follow until the Lord says something they can't agree with, and then they begin to fall by the wayside. And not that God wants them to fall by the wayside, But God is going to divide those who truly follow him and those that don't follow him. And we're going to see in this whole setup here, that's exactly how he begins this. He sees the multitudes, and when he sees the multitudes, notice this, he goes up on a mountain. Now, the mountains in Israel are a little bit different than the mountains here. They've got mountains, don't get me wrong. As a matter of fact, you look at the Golan Heights and some of the other mountains in Israel, Gilead, those areas, they look just like our mountains. They look like mountains in different portions of the states, but they're not as huge and majestic as what we think of out west and some of our 12 and 14,000 foot mountains and all this. Typically, when the Bible speaks of a mountain in Israel, it's really kind of like we'd call a rolling hillside with cattle on it. This was kind of a slow slope and a smooth slope. For those of you that have been to Israel, you know what this looks like, but it's a little bit of a slope and it's a little bit of a distance. And why would the Lord do this? The Lord is now beginning to divide those who want to put forth an effort to seek him and those who are just happy to stand there when it's convenient. And what is my point in that? There's a lot of believers today, a lot of people, a lot of followers, if you will, that as long as Christianity is convenient, as long as it's easy, as long as it's close enough to the house and the drive isn't too far or the traffic isn't too bad or whatever, fill in the blank, I'll go. But when it gets to where there's a little bit of an uphill climb, count me out. The Lord wants to thin those out. Don't be that person. This is a test. Had it been a real emergency, you would have been notified. But this is a test, I believe, from the Lord to find out, how badly do you really want to hear from me? How badly do you want to grow? How badly do you want to know? Are you willing to make a small ascent up a hill and follow me to hear what I have to say? No doubt when the Lord started going, I can see him looking at the multitudes and going, all right, here we go, his disciples, follow me. And he starts going up the hill and the crowd, where's he going? He's going up this hill. And they all start walking up this hill and they see the peak of the hill. They realize he's going up there. There's going to be a little bit of a distance, a little bit of a walk. I wonder how many of them thought, you know what? I don't know that I really want to do that right now. Let's go grab a burger and fries and sit by the Galilee. Let's enjoy. It's a beautiful lake day. Let's just kind of soak that in for a while. We'll catch up with them when they get back down or whatever. But the others are saying, you know what? No, really, I don't care if there's a little bit of effort involved here. I'm going to do what it takes to go seek the Lord. I want to hear what he has to say. And here's my point in this. If you want to go deeper in Jesus Christ, he's not going to give you some insurmountable mountain to climb, but he is going to say you're going to need to put forth a little bit of effort. And it's not works. You're not earning anything. You're already in the kingdom if you know the Lord. What you're having to do is to say, you know what, Lord? I think if I'm really going to hear you, it's going to be a little bit of a mountain climb. I'm going to set my alarm a little bit earlier this morning. I'm going to get up each day a little bit earlier. I'm going to set aside a little bit of time at lunch. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to go up that mountain because the only way you're going to get deeper teachings in the Lord is to be willing to go a little bit further up the mountain. And I like the fact that the Lord doesn't make it difficult. Anyone could go. You look at Mount Sinai. Moses was the only one that could go. And if anybody got near, God struck them dead. And it was just this law thing that was so hard and everybody was afraid. Jesus said, no, you're all welcome. Everyone, this is grace. It's not the law anymore. It's grace through the cross of Jesus Christ. But you know what? If you want to follow me and you want to go deeper and you want to learn, there's going to be a little bit of effort involved. You can't just lay around and expect me to hand you everything all the time. You need to seek me. And I think about some of you guys that are hikers. You know, again, I love to hike. But for me, I do the hiking trail and it kind of stops there. Some of you guys are the type that for whatever the reason, you go hiking and a couple years go by and you want to like swing from ropes on mountains. Okay, that's great. That's great. That's a personality thing. And we have all those personalities in here. God's not asking you to swing on ropes from mountains. But God is saying, if you want to find me, you're going to have to put a little bit of effort in. And so now the Lord begins to head up, if you will. And then notice this, when he was seated, his disciples came to him. That is those that were a little bit more committed. They wanted to hear what the Lord had. No doubt there were still multitudes. I'm not discrediting the fact that multitudes were there. But this wasn't really written for the multitudes as a whole. As I said earlier, this was written for the disciples, those who are going to follow by the Spirit, because the multitudes can't follow this. It's impossible in human effort. And notice it says here, again, that he opened his mouth and he taught them saying, and now we get into again what we call the Beatitudes, the first one. Notice, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when you read that, you probably think, blessed are those that are depressed. I read poor in spirit, I think, well, you must be kind of down a little bit. You're kind of like depressed, maybe you're a little bit of an Eeyore. That's not what this is saying. What this is saying is blessed are those who realize they are spiritually broke. They have nothing to offer God. Your spiritual wallet is empty. And that is, if you want to come to God, he's going to have to do everything because you have nothing that you can earn your way into heaven. And you recognize it. Now, here's the reality. None of us have any way to earn our way into heaven, but some people think they do. And some people think they can. And so they try by their standard to live good, to live righteous, to do all these things, to go to church, whatever the case might be. And the Lord is saying, that's not going to do it. You've got to recognize that you are completely broke spiritually. You're a beggar spiritually. You're poor in spirit. You have nothing to offer God to get into heaven. You've got to come recognizing you have a need. Now, here's the thing. Guys, listen. I think we have an epidemic of this in the South. I think that a lot of people in the South, because we grew up in church, because we grew up with, you know, families that knew the Lord, we don't sometimes realize that we have a need for the things of God. Why do I need the Lord? I remember growing up and thinking I was a Christian. I thought I was a Christian the first 25 years of my life. I really thought I was. And I would have argued with, I am a Christian, but I wasn't. Here's how I found out I wasn't. At 25, I met Jesus Christ for real for the first time. And I realized all those years prior to that, I was deceived. And the reason I was deceived is I didn't realize I needed to be saved. I thought that everyone was simply, what, Jesus died for the sins of the world, right? Well, I'm a part of the world, so he must have died for me. He did, but unless I take that personally, it doesn't count. And that's what I didn't know, and that's what I didn't do. And so the Lord here has to first show us you have a need, maybe for the first time. God's showing you right now, wait a minute, what are you talking about? You mean I think I'm a Christian? I think I am. I've grown up going to church, but maybe I do have some doubts. Listen, you need to know that you know that you know. And if you meet Jesus Christ, you know that you've met him. There's no question there. So if you're wondering, have I met him? Don't leave this place without making sure that you know. Recognize that you are poor in spirit. That's step number one to salvation. And that's step number one to walking with the Lord. And that's why the Lord included this here as step number one, knowing we have nothing to offer the Lord, no value whatsoever, literally broke, and now we need him to do something. And that's the next thing. After we realize that, he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, notice, first of all, up here, you'll see for a lot. The first one was for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's why you're blessed if you're poor in spirit. Because you repent of your sin, and now you realize you're going to inherit heaven. So you're blessed. The next one is, they shall be comforted. You're blessed if you mourn because you'll be comforted. Why will you be comforted? Because now you're mourning over your sin. Here's step two. Number one is realizing you're a sinner. Step two is, I've got to do something about this. This is wrong. Now, again, I think about the mourning that I went through when I realized I had sin in my life when I first gave my life to Christ. But even as a believer, I go through mourning over my sin now. I mean, when I do something wrong, it bothers me. And I was just praying this morning. I was saying, Lord, you know, wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, whatever. Cleanse my heart, Lord. Help me be ready to teach today. Let me have my focus totally on you. And I was thinking, this is really a good morning. It's kind of a good morning. It hit me. Hey, good morning. That's good. That's good. But it's a different good morning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. It's a good morning. And if God is showing you that you have sin in your life that you've not confessed to God, and you're mourning over it, it grieves you, you wish that it wasn't there, that is a good mourning. Why? Here's why. Because you're going to be comforted. And why are you going to be comforted? Because if you confess your sin, repent of your sin, and you're born again, you have the comfort of heaven. And now you know you have your eternal home in heaven, if you will. You have your place in heaven. And so the second one is you're blessed if you mourn over your sin. Notice the next one, blessed are the meek. For they shall inherit the earth. Now, the meek means, it means strength under control. It means that you're living under the control of the Holy Spirit. You're not just letting your flesh do whatever it wants. You're not just living for the world. You're saying, all right, Lord, I give my life to you. Now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, give me the boundaries you want me to have. Not by law, not by rules, but by love. And I'm going to learn to walk with you. And it says, if you do that, notice this. Again, you shall inherit the earth. Now, think about that for a moment. It's one thing to read that, but think about that for a moment. The earth belongs to you. That's your future. You are the owners of the earth. Now, that doesn't always hit as strong as it does unless you see something that's really, really cool. I went on a ride yesterday. I finished studying a little bit early, and my family was all gone doing other things. And sometimes I'll have moments where I can just hop on the bike and go for a quick ride. And this wasn't exactly a quick ride, but it wasn't a super long ride either. But hopped on the bike and ran down a Cherokee forest over Cherokee and came down the dragon through that area. I love that area back in there. It's a great time just to be alone and pray and just look at God's glory and just praise him and all that. But there's a beautiful area. As you start getting down the bottom of the Cherokee there, there's a beautiful area where the lake comes in. And I love the lake that's open and that you can see everything. And it's like, wow, that's beautiful. But I really love these areas where the mountains completely surround it. And you drive by a couple of areas where you see all this water. It looks really deep. I don't know how deep it is, but it just looks deep. You know how water looks when it looks deep? It looks deep, and it's got all these high mountains all the way around it, and I'm driving by looking at it going, how cool is that? And then all these great-looking houses and these boats and all these things. Don't get me wrong. I have coveted before, but I wasn't coveting. I wasn't even jealous. I was enjoying the Lord. But I was looking at it going, Lord, look at that. Just so beautiful. How wonderful it would be to have a cabin like that in a beautiful spot, be able to take your family or whatever. And it's almost like, again, I've been studying this. The Lord began to speak to my heart. That's yours. Really? He's, yeah. So I went to that cabin. I went, hey, get out of my house. No, I didn't. But I started thinking, Lord, it's not a matter of a covetous, like, I want that. I want your stuff. It's not wanting somebody's stuff. I was just going, wow. And it was almost like he began to say, not only is that yours, the Greek Isles, the deepest blue oceans around the globe, the most gorgeous things you can imagine. And Mark, this is fallen. Wait till you see me come back and freshen it up. I'm thinking, whoa, it's mine, it's yours. Guys, we have nothing to be envious of when it comes to the people of the world. You have nothing to be envious of when you see the billionaire or the whatever. I mean, these guys are going to shoot themselves up in rockets. They may not come back. I mean, there's nothing to be envious of. You know, it's yours. This is the reward of those who are poor in spirit. This is the reward of those who mourn over their sin. This is the reward of those who are meek, who are strength under control, who come under the control of the Holy Spirit. He says, the earth is yours. It's going to be given to you. And here's the thing. It'll be yours for 1,000 years. And then when that's done, he's going to throw this one away and say, not good enough. I'm making a brand new one that's going to blow your mind. And then we're going to live there forever. And then I've got a kingdom that's made of see-through jewels and crystal and gold. We're going to live there. And we're going to just like have a blast together all the time. And it'll never be weird. It'll never be tense. It'll never be an awkward family moment. Everybody's going to love each other all the time, 100%. Listen, you've got a great future ahead. That's what this is talking about. That's why he's saying, listen, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. Again, you've got all these promises coming to you. You're going to inherit the earth. He goes on and says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? For they shall be filled. Do you feel empty? He says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, that shall be filled. He didn't say if you casually snack, you know, grab a Sunday here and there, read a verse ever so often. He said, you've got a hunger and thirst. You've got to be willing to go a little bit up the mountain and say, I will sit at your feet. I am hungry. I am thirsty. Feed me. And if you're not hungry and thirsty, ask for God to give you a thirst and a hunger. Here's what happens. When you begin to spend time in the word and prayer, that desire begins to grow for the word and prayer. The Bible talks about training up your child in the way that it should go. What they would do with their babies is they would take milk, the mother's milk, especially ones that would have trouble starting to nurse, and they put a little bit of the mother's milk in the roof of their mouth, and they would taste it. Oh, this is pretty good. God designed it that way, and they begin to nurse. So as we begin to taste the word of God, what does the Bible say? Taste and see that the Lord is good. You begin to get a hunger for it. And look, the spiritual principle is the same as the physical one. And here's how it works. I can do my best, you know, if I'm sitting around and I'm studying and I have to stand up and stretch for a minute. And I'm kind of closed in, whatever. I don't know why the first thing I think of is chips, but it is.
Well, our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today, but seize this moment to draw closer to Jesus right now. Will you come and sit at the teacher's feet with us? You know, Matthew was close to Jesus. He actually walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, and traveled with him. And in this verse-by-verse series through the Gospel of Matthew, Pastor Mark is taking us up close and personal with Jesus and the disciples who followed him. And together, we'll see Jesus tell stories, perform miracles, astound the people, and frustrate the religious leaders. We'll witness Jesus dying on the cross, experience the despair and fear the disciples felt that day too, and then we'll see him rise triumphantly from the grave. To listen again or share with a friend today's message, along with many others, can be found at thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Once you're there, you simply need to click on the Come to the Table tab. Listen, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out and make sure you're staying grounded in God's Word by reading the Bible every day. Allow Jesus to grow you as you draw close to him daily and be willing to go where he's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared our next verse-by-verse review of the book of Matthew. So put your bookmark there and make sure to join us here the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.